Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Barzola. Still got a cold, still recovering from a few things. This April 6th is an interesting day in world history. We have two major religions have events on this day. In about the 6th century, the Holy Quran supposedly descended from the heavens in a thing called Luhi-ul-Qadr. And, of course, the Quran is a very controversial document, if you can call it that, in the Islam, the religion of Islam, which is a very violent religion if you look at their history. They forcibly converted people that they, their soldiers fought and imprisoned and sold into slavery. And those who weren't circumcised were forcibly half-circumcised, and that's where the term comes, Christian dog. Also on this day, there's two Mormon events. This is the birthday of the Mormon religion. Started in upstate New York, and then there was they migrated to Nauvoo, Illinois, southern Illinois. And there was Joseph Smith was killed there. And then there's a place of the people who should travel across the country. There's the Mormon Trail, which goes from southern Illinois through Iowa. It's very interesting. And it's full of, I understand, fleas and mosquitoes, and all the way they migrated to Utah. And on this day also, I think in 1866, the founder, the successor of Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion, Brigham Young, married his 27th wife, and that was the final one, I guess. That's the one that finally, they didn't have those male enhancers in those days. And, of course, Mormon religion is very relevant to us today. Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, is also a Mormon. I guess he's practicing. And it's interesting, they pushed the health care thing, controversial realignment of American the American economy. And, of course, there's now Howard Dean was caught on tape saying, Dr. Howard Dean, he's a registered doctor, still licensed to practice, former governor of Vermont and former head of the Democratic National Committee, said this isn't about health care, this is about realignment of wealth. And other Democratic politicos have said the same thing. So they bought into this agenda. Yesterday, actually, was Dr. Joseph Lister, the great British physician in the 18th century. Listerine and antiseptic lotions he discovered or pushed when doctors performed surgery because they didn't clean their hands, and a lot of people who could have lived, even with the primitive surgical techniques of the day, died of infections. And that reduced Lister, helped Joseph Lister help inform physicians and medical personnel that they should be clean and wash their hands and protect the patient from, unnecessary contamination and disease. Excuse me. And then let's see what else is today. Oh, a lot of things. We are hearing about the brutal death of Eugene Terblanc. In the 16th century, the first European settlement and colony was established in South Africa in what is known as the Cape Colony. Very beautiful place. I've never been there, but I've seen a lot. And we're getting more and more wine from South Africa. But most people don't know the history of South Africa, that the Protestant Dutch, English, and French, primarily Dutch and French, migrated there. And there were relationships with the blacks, and which they called the colored, just as we get the term. And then it was only recently, in 1948, that the Nationalist Party, which were the descendants of the original settlers, the French and the Dutch, established apartheid, separation of the races, and the guy who started this was a guy named Vervoet, a Dutchman, and he was assassinated, I believe, by a Greek immigrant. But brutal death of Eugène Terblanc, who was the last white racist of any prominence in South Africa, his family history harkens back to those days of the early settlement of Cape Colony in South Africa. And also in 1712 in New York, there was the first slave revolt. So a lot of this history you don't hear about. And other ethnic groups in Prussia, the Jews were granted equality. And, of course, out of Prussia came the Rothschild family. I think it was Meyer Rothschild was the founding father. And he had four or five sons, and he sent them to the various countries, Germany, France. Wasn't Germany in those days, but became Germany, France, England, and I think eventually became the United States, and of course there's Rothschilds in the Scandinavian countries, and to set up banking. In fact, the English Rothschild financed the Duke of Wellington's campaign against Napoleon, and is responsible for helping financially the Duke of Wellington defeat Napoleon at Waterloo. So it's a very powerful, probably the world's most powerful banking family. There, of course, the line is dying out, and one of the prominent male heirs living today is about 32 years old. He's interested in other things. So they brought in an outsider who worked for the bank, and he's not a non-Rothschild. But it's part of the Federal Reserve controversy and international banking. It's just something people should be aware of and know that it is a political force, financial influence. People need to be aware of, and it affects everybody's lives. Let's see what else. Getting back to the Jews in Germany, my father's first wife was German Jewish, and her father was a doctor in Germany at the time of Hitler, and he didn't leave, but she did. And there's a book out; it's still in print. You can see it on Amazon.com. I highly recommend it for anybody who wants to understand medical care, because under Bismarck in, 1868, Otto von Bismarck, the great chancellor of the modern Germany as we pretty well know it today, one of the things that he started, and I brought this up before, was to blunt the left, the liberals and the socialists. And he established a social welfare system that included medical insurance in Germany, the first modern country to do so. And Americans and other people, medical students, would go to Heidelberg or Vienna, and they had the best medical schools in Berlin, of course, in the world. And that, of course, changed. But after Hitler banned the Germans of Jewish background, or, you know, a lot of there were Jews who did not practice also, keep that in mind, but they couldn't practice medicine or dentistry or have their professorships, education, so they fled Germany, and some came to the United States, and they were barred from practicing medicine in the established hospitals, the AMA, which later became under the control of a guy named Dr. Morris Fishbein. They set up their headquarters in Chicago. He was Jewish, of course. I don't know if his family came from Germany or Europe, but they were denied medical licenses, and so this is one of the reasons why you see Jewish hospitals around the country. Cedar of Lebanon in Los Angeles, you see Jewish hospitals in Chicago, Maimonides, I think, in New York, and some of the best doctors in the world still practice there. And it's not a religious thing. They have Catholics, priests come in to serve the Catholic patients who are Catholic or Protestants, whatever. But that's the source of the Jewish hospitals in America, and because it was discrimination against German Jews who fled to the United States during the time of Hitler's ascendancy in Germany. But I'll get more in that book, because I did a book review when it first came out, University of North Carolina, Doctors Under Hitler. The author is Michael Kanter, K-A-N-T-E-R. Excellent book, and it's one that should be read, because there are a lot of issues that are still very relevant in medical practice and medical education today. One of the issues, I'll digress here, was the Germans during World War II, and among their medical practices, they would take captured military personnel that they didn't like, and also concentration camp inmates, and they would perform tests by dunking them, immersing them for long periods in frozen water or freezing conditions, air, suffocation test, see how the Luftwaffe pilots could survive, at what altitudes before their lungs would burst, and this has happened. The frozen immersing inmates, and there are horrible pictures of these guys being frozen, in fact, to death in vats of icy cold water, and that was supposedly to discover ways to protect German Luftwaffe pilots who were shot down or planes fell out of the sky, and they were in the Arctic waters. One of the outrageous things that the German doctors, Mengele, people like that, I don't know if Mengele did these, but these experiments did occur, and there were a lot of them. They would get a buxom German woman to try to have to lay on the naked, frozen body of a inmate to see if she could revive him. This is one of their kinky tests. Now, the results of those tests, the University of Minnesota had a conference on them, and I'll publish that on our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, Amicus Veritas. I did some research on this. Very controversial, but remember, people who live in the northern climates who go ice fishing, whatever, they're out there on the ice, and it breaks, and they end up in frozen waters. There are a lot of questions about was or is the medical research and information obtained from the German war files on these experiments on people who were inmates who were frozen in the altitude test, is that relevant? Is it ethical to use that information today to try to protect and people who fell through the ice or had similar experiences in high altitudes? So that's still the ethical controversy still going on. Today also we have the Olympic Games that started, the modern Olympic Games started in Greece. Also, and this guy still has never gotten credit, the guy who accompanied Matthew Henson, who was black, who accompanied Robert Peary to his North Pole experiments. He didn't fall on the ice, but one of the people did freeze to death. A lot of people, explorers, Robert Scott, froze to death up there, and they just recently found a case of whiskey. He was a British explorer. But anyway, Robert Peary, accompanied by Matthew Henson, reached the North Pole on this day. And also on this day, Matthew Henson was buried next to Robert Peary in, I think, Arlington National Cemetery. But when he was alive, because he was black, he didn't get the credit that was due him. And, you know, these things happen. And also on this date, the U.S. entered World War I, and that started, who knows, Wilson's War, that started a lot of problems that we're still dealing with today in Europe. Among the interesting birthdays are Raphael, the great Italian painter, Rousseau, the great French philosopher, and for those of you who remember Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, Paul Newman, his birthday was today. Harry Houdini, some people think this medical, this Reed Care is a Houdini operation. And then Dr. James Watson, he's the discoverer of DNA, which is still controversial because of its application and use in criminal tests. But he's a great scientist, and his birthday is today. And then Andrei Previn, a Jewish musician born in Germany, served in the U.S. Army, and He scored a lot of shows. He was conductor of the London Symphony, a great composer of pop songs, but he had a kind of assorted... he married Mia Farrow, and, of course, you know, that's that Hollywood crowd. And then among the financial benefits organizations that founded today, the first credit union was founded in the U.S. And then getting back to the discrimination and the abuse of black people, today was the start of the first Scottsboro trial. During the Depression, nine black youths, a lot of youths jumped the railroads and rode the rails looking for jobs because they were out of work. And nine black youths were in this boxcar. Two girls, white girls, joined them. And something happened, and when they reached the town in Tennessee, I think it was, or Alabama, one of the girls claimed that they were raped by these nine black youths, and there was a lot of lynching of black men and youths in those days. And the notorious Scottsboro trial is one of the most infamous trials in American judicial history. Occurred, and it took many years for these youths to be pardoned, to be exonerated. And, of course, it's similar to the Steve Nery trial here in San Francisco and a few others, a longshoreman trial that also occurred. And there were three kangaroo court trials that happened here in San Francisco. We'll get into more of that because it affects these trials, not only costly, to the American taxpayer, needless cost, but the people who perpetrate these judicial frauds live quite well off the American taxpayer, and nobody's looking at this, and a lot of lives are needlessly damaged and destroyed at a huge cost that people unnecessarily are paying for. Let's see, now what else happened today? And then we're going to get into the new economy. Oh, yes, birthdays. So those of you in the country western, Merle Haggard's born today, and Michelle Phillips of the Mamas and Papas, and, of course, from California, California Dreaming. That song was sung by the Mamas and Papas. It's still popular. You know, it's interesting. You listen to pop music today, and I studied music in high school and in college, and then I changed my major. But... if you listen to the pop songs, why the stations keep playing the songs of the 60s, 50s, even the 40s, or even going back to the 30s, that music, the pop music, survived because it had real melody, counterpoint, harmonies, was relevant. But you listen to some of this we call it pube rock, awful stuff that only lasts a couple of months, if at all, on the charts. Or the radio stations and the DJs who are still, some of them are still allegedly being bribed to play this stuff. That stuff does not last, but the things like the Mamas and the Papas, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Jefferson Airplane, Duke Ellington, these are real musicians, and these people, their work survives and is appreciated and enjoyed down through the ages. Excuse me. So got that bloody cold. And then these are among the scandals that are happening. And then I'll get to the new economy. Leland Yee is controversial. He's a psychologist, a doctor who was on the board of the San Francisco School District, one of the most corrupt in the United States and certainly in California. And I did do volunteer lecturing in the San Francisco Unified School District and in a radio station. And... we had some scandals involving financial non-accountability. Anyway, he ran for the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. He ran for the state legislatures, and he's a legislator. And he has proposed that California pass a law that allows election day registration and voting. And, of course, they claim, they can verify on that day that the people registering on election day and who want to vote, they can verify that their registration, their identity is valid. Well, we say BS to that. We know what this is all about. This is part of the Lavender Left and the Radical Left's agenda to control the American and local, state, and federal government. You know, interestingly, in Australia, if you don't vote, there's a fine. But, you know, the whole concept... people should not be forced to vote. They should vote because they have something and someone to vote for, not the fact that vote and what we get. Look at the crowds that we've had. Look at the politicians. Most of the corruption in Congress and the legislators are primarily involving lawyers and lobbyists, special interests. So what's the use of voting, some people are saying, and there's some validity to their complaints. So the issue should not be everybody should vote. People should vote when there is someone to vote for and there's an issue to vote on. And maybe we should have, like Nevada does, a box on the ballot that says none of the above. That'll send a message to these parties. And of course, look at the Republican scandal, Michael Steele. He should resign, and, you know, he's just drawing fire from the real issues about the validity of the membership, not the membership, but the participants in the Tea Party movement who have been slandered and by the Lavender Left media, that they are Ku Klux Klanners and without their sheets, and they're anti-gay, anti-immigrant, and all this garbage. And some of the relevant polls are finding out that half of these people, many of them are disgruntled, angry Democrats, people who have registered their political affiliation as Democrat. So, you know, it's a diversion, and we don't need that. We need reform now. And getting to the new face of the American economy, and we're doing some of our video documentation that'll be up on our YouTube site, which we're putting a lot of concentration and a lot of effort in on YouTube at Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas. What we're finding on the new economy, as I call it, that, and I've interviewed people in key industries and also on the smart meters, that at least one chain that I talked to, some interesting things came out. If you see a Starbucks in like a Safeway or one of the major chains or any of the other stores, Starbucks does not control that entity. It's a franchise that the business there, like Safeway, has the franchise on Starbucks that are in Safeway stores. Now, if you get a what I've learned, and I'm a big coffee drinker, and I know other people who like espresso coffee and that, finding out that, and it's not only Starbucks, that we detect that the product is, the quality has gone down in the quantity of the coffee. It tasted like the water, it's been watered down. Now, we tried to get a response from Starbucks, but their website is so screwed up, can't get through. It's like Costco, somebody told me, and you can't get through on that one. You need to be a intelligence decipher analyst practically to use their website. But anyway, here's what now Pete's, we had a similar situation. That's the oldest, one of the oldest coffee makers, coffee brewers in California, one of the best. They have an easy website to go to if you have a complaint. Very simple, very short. And they responded this way, that if you are not satisfied with your cup of coffee, which they haven't lowered the price, that you should complain to the manager, and they will give you another beverage, another coffee or whatever. So, you know, assert your computer rights. You know, the meek don't inherit the earth, they inherit the dirt. So that's what I always tell people. Speak up, stand firm, and, you know, don't bend and just slink away, or, you know, and feel, oh, I don't want to raise an issue. It's your money, and you work hard for it, and you're trying to keep what you work for. So it's up to you. People don't respect Minnie Mouse people, and, you know, assert yourself. It's your right. It's your American right. And you need to keep these purveyors on notice that, hey, just because the economy is in the tank or it's sliding, that doesn't mean you should lower the quality of the coffee and water down the amount of coffee beans that are used to brew that cup of coffee. Also, we're finding out, this is very interesting, because San Francisco was one of the cities that wink at prostitution. And we're seeing, we have a thing coming up on where the boys aren't. During the conventions, I noticed that some of the conventioners would, on their spare time, would go to these areas of the city where there were boy prostitution, Castro and Polk Street, or what is known as Polkstrasse. And I happened to be going through there one night. They had with the shadow, and we were the new shadow, and we were videotaping. And we noticed that it seems that the economy has affected the prostitution market. So even they are feeling, I hate to say, a pinch in their pocketbook, but more than a pinch. And there's some interesting scenes. We found a guy, a prostitute, soliciting a guy in a wheelchair. So that ought to be interesting. I guess he needed some erectile dysfunction medicine, whatever. But it has affected the prostitution as far as we can tell, because the streets used to be packed with these kids, and some of them were unfortunate who were runaways, and they were either going through sexual dysfunction conflicts in their family and with themselves, and they ended up, the families kicked them out, and they ended up on the streets of San Francisco and other cities also. It's New York Times ran an article, very good article. They do more of this, they have more credibility. On these runaway kids who are becoming victims, it's not only the girls, it's the boys, and nobody's really looking at that. And these kids are forced into unsafe sex. There have been mysterious disappearances, deaths, castration, all kinds of things. And, you know, these kids are victims. So it's something that people should be aware of, because you're going to pay the cost down the line. The other thing is we're doing another, we also have an expose on the so-called smart meters, and there's a lot of controversy about that. And what we're finding out and from utility company insiders and people who work the streets, that these things are not online, these meters. There are questions about, are they accurate? And also, they don't expect, if they ever do get them online, it won't be for a couple of years. And people are getting delayed bills that are estimated, because these meters, I was told by a couple of people who work in the utility industry that they're not convinced that these meters are accurate. Also, it's not only the electric meters, they're going to do this for gas. So that's the plan, these green meters, so-called. So these are things that the consumers should be aware of, because we all need heat. We should give more heat to the politicians, of course. So again, I invite you to our YouTube website, because that's where we're putting a lot of emphasis. And we'll be doing more things that are of interest. Military history, this is the month, the commemoration of the battle at Gallipoli. Colonel Trevor Hodges, he's the only survivor. He's dead now, but he did one interview. I have the exclusive on it. And he's the only survivor of Gallipoli who served in the British Army at Gallipoli in World War I. And in World War II, he emigrated to America during the late 20s, went to work for Chrysler as the vice president when the war started, and when we were gearing up for war. He went into the U.S. Army as a colonel, and he was up here in San Francisco area, in charge of a WAC, Women's Army Corps detachment. Interesting story. So we'll have part of that. And then in June, we have, he's dead now too, boy, they're all dying, the deputy commander at Omaha Beach, or for D-Day, and he was the guy in charge of the American, under British, was the commander of the engineering, the Mulberry Bridges, which enabled the Allies to land the troops quickly on the beaches, because they had to get off the beaches the Germans had set up in encampments. We're just mowing down Americans at Omaha and Utah Beach. So that's coming up. And then a British survivor of a special operations executive, I interviewed him, and we'll have his interview, and then somebody in the Canadian forces. So a lot of stuff's coming up, and follow our YouTube website, and we want to thank you. And then we'll be doing some other changes. I'm still trying to recover from this major surgery and this, I guess it's a cold. So we'll close out today with our one of our favorite tunes, and tune in Thursday.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
Go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Say, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Hit me with a king.
Ready?
gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big Ace.
Ace Bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
More than once, people. Thanks for listening. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.